A carryover from Israel's ancient unbelief. All present should have entered heartily into the spirit of the occasion. Yet mingled with the music and shouts of praise heard on that glad day was a discordant note. Many of the ancient men that had seen the first house wept with a loud voice. These aged men thought of the results of long-continued impenitence. Had they and their generation carried out God's purpose for Israel, the temple built by Solomon would not have been destroyed and the captivity would not have been necessary. But conditions were now changed. The Lord had allowed His people to return to their own land. Sadness should have given way to joy. God had moved upon Cyrus to aid them in rebuilding the temple. But instead of rejoicing, some cherished thoughts of discontent and discouragement. They had seen the glory of Solomon's temple and lamented because of the inferiority of the building now to be erected. The murmuring and complaining had a depressing influence on many. The workmen were led to question whether they should proceed with the erection of a building that was so freely criticized and was the cause of so much lamentation. Many, however, did not view this lesser glory with such dissatisfaction. They shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Little did those who failed to rejoice at the laying of the foundation stone realize the weight of their words of disapproval and disappointment. Little did they know how much their dissatisfaction would delay the completion of the Lord's house. The magnificence of the first temple had been a source of pride to Israel before their captivity, but the glory of the first temple could not recommend them to God, for they did not bring Him the sacrifice of a humble and contrite spirit. When the vital principles of the kingdom of God are lost sight of, ceremonies become multitudinous and extravagant. When the simplicity of godliness is despised, pride and love of display demand magnificent church edifices, splendid adornings, and imposing ceremonials. But God values His church for the sincere piety which distinguishes it from the world. He estimates it according to the growth of its members in the knowledge of Christ, their progress in spiritual experience. He looks for love and goodness. Beauty of art cannot compare with beauty of character revealed in Christ's representatives. A congregation may be the poorest in the land, but if the members possess the principles of the character of Christ, angels will unite in their worship. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.